Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there. A very warm welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Racing Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington. And joining me to look ahead to a really fantastic weekend of racing are three superb judges, Graham Rodway and David Jennings from the Racing Post, and Paddy Powers, sharp as a tack odds compiler, Niall O'Reilly. It's Ebor Day at York, the culmination of four fantastic days on the Knavesmire. Willie Mullins and Tony Bloom, the enemy of the bookies, team up with the hot favourite. We'll see if that is one to back or take on. We will also be looking at the rest of a superb York card. Three great TV races at Goodwood, a million meetings taking place all over the place, and we will also be looking into the Sunday where there are three group races at the Curragh and a fascinating contest on the Downs at Goodwood. Right then, let's get stuck in. Before we do actually with the racing, I just want to quickly look back to the first couple of days at York, and particularly Thursday, where I've got to say I've found this flat season a little bit of a slow burner, chaps, but I thought on Thursday it was the first time the 2018 flat season could puff its chest out and say, look, there's some real stars here. I thought those two fillies, Sear Class and Larty Dull, were absolutely sensational. Graham, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I thought, well, both of them were amazing. I mean, the way that Sea of Class went through that Group 1, you know, I mean, you could call her the winner from so far out, and she was travelling so well, and she put it to bed. It reminded me a lot of her sire, you know. She went to the front. She wasn't doing a hell of a lot, but she was always doing enough, and you get the feeling there's plenty more in the tank with her. Larty Dull was more of a more impressive, obviously, in a weaker race. She's probably a different type, and she's probably a bit more flashy than Sea of Class, and you wonder how much there was left in the tank. I think you saw everything there, but obviously she only had three runs open to those improvement. What a fantastic race it would be if they did clash at some point this season.
Sadly, Goz has got too many arc arrows to fire, isn't he? So I don't think it's going to happen. But DJ, it was a brilliant afternoon, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's the second best week of the flat season for me. After Royal Ascot, York is next best. Like, as you say, you were kind of looking for something just to ignite the flat season. And Sea of Class, Roaring Lion, Larty Dar, like, just three exceptional performances in the space of 24, 48 hours. Like, it's terrific. I can't wait for the rest of the week now.
And Niall, arc-wise, I get you took the old scissors out to see if Class is priced, didn't you? Did you have her down as the one to beat at Longchamp?
Yeah, we went 5-1 from, I think we were 12. But yeah, I'm a massive Sea of Class fan. I think she was the highlight of the week for me.
Did you see the tweet that came from Niall O'Reilly about 6 months ago about Sea of Class?
No.
Explain, Niall.
Go on, Niall. Don't hide your light under a bushel.
Yeah, just before the Irish Oaks, I put her up for the arc at about 50-1 or so. As long as the ground stays decent, I think she's the one to beat.
I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed not being on Twitter, but slightly less now that I know I've missed a 50-1 shot. You're on her at 50s for the arc.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can ever do wrong? It's ridiculous. What a great shout, mate. Okay then, right then, let's get stuck into Saturday. And obviously we should start with the trickiest race, arguably, of the afternoon, although not necessarily, because there's a lot of real puzzlers. But it's the 340, it's the Sky Bet Ebor. A fantastic race, as ever. Willie Mullins has got not just the favourite, but the second favourite as well. How did Paddy Power bet, Niall?
Yeah, Stratum is our 7-2 favourite. Blakeney Point is 7-1. Whiskey Sour, 7-1. Nikita, 10-1. Teodoro, 11-1. Crowned Eagle, 12-1 and 14-1 bar.
We'll stick with you, red hot Niall O'Reilly. Who's going to win this?
Yeah, I'm really strong in Whiskey Sour here. Now, he's become a bit of a cliff horse for me in the last few months, but he ran really well in the Ascot Stakes, carrying top weight over 2.4 miles. When I really didn't think he'd stay, he actually ran a cracker. He travelled like the winner about 2 furlongs out, but just faded into fifth. Stratum finished in front of him that day. The Whiskey Sour is now £8 better off with him. And it's the drop in trip to 1.6 miles that really swings in Whiskey Sour's favour for me. He's got a low weight, which helps because he's not the biggest horse, and an excellent jockey on board in William Buick. I'm not worried about the high draw, as it hasn't tended to be an issue over this trip at York. I was slightly worried if the ground was going to be fast, but I don't think it's going to be now looking at the forecast. So yeah, he's a confident selection for me.
Okay, confident selection, Whiskey Sour. That's the Willie Mullins, what the market says is number two. G-Rod, before you tell us who you fancy, what are you expecting weather-wise? Do you think we're going to get a pulse of rain coming in?
Well, see, it's interesting what Niall was saying there, in that he's worried that if it got fast, and he doesn't think it will, every forecast that I looked at looks like it's going to be dry, unless I'm following the completely wrong ones. I mean, obviously, you know, predicting the weather is harder than predicting these horses, isn't it? Sometimes, and you know, they get it wrong. But I use two different sites, and we all know the Norwegian one that Kiehl's loves.
Yeah.
You know, and that is very accurate, and that says 0 millimeters. So
my one says dry as well.
So if it stays like that, it's surely going to be on the quick side. And I think the favourite will win. You know, I think the favourite looks absolutely bomb-proof. Should probably have won at Royal Ascot. Was drawn on the wide outside, raced quite freely, about four or five wide the whole way around that, and was finishing like a train. Yeah, that was over 2.5, but I don't think the drop back in trips could be any problem, judging by what we saw at Newbury last time when Willie Mullins stuck the hood on, and Stratton just improved significantly for the fitting of the headgear because he settled a lot better and he got a better position on the inside rail, so he was able to get a lot of cover. And then when he was trying to weave his way through, I thought he was getting in a right old mess. And I thought, there's no way this horse is going to win. But the gears that he showed, once he pulled him out, he just appeared on the bridle and put that race to bed in so impressively. I mean, to me, he looks like a group stayer in the making. And I'd be more than happy to back him at 4-1, 7-2, even in this competitive race, because I don't think the rest of them are that good.
You think he's valued here?
I do. Okay. I could see him going off shorter.
Okay. Particularly if Tony Bloom opens his wallet. DJ, what's your view of the Ebor?
Yeah, first of all, on the Mullen string, I'm with Niall here. I prefer Whiskey Sour to Stratum. Whiskey Sour is 1.43 over hurdles. Stratum is 1.42. So there's very little between them, both on the flat and over hurdles. The key thing with Whiskey Sour that I'm sure Niall knows as well is he's a small horse that can't carry a big weight. So flat races actually suit him. In the Galway hurdle, he had to carry 11.7, which was just a nightmare. Like, once the weights went up for that race, he couldn't be on my mind. I thought he was the horse to take out of the Ascot Stakes because he was hemmed in at a crucial stage. I think York is perfect. Of the Mullins pair, I would certainly be in Whiskey Sour's camp. I think York is tailor-made for him, and I think the race is made for him. But the one I've liked for so long for this race is Muntaha of John Gosden's. A completely different type of horse than you usually need for the Ebor. Like, Willie Mullins' two could be ridiculously well handicapped, and if they are, they'll finish first and second, or one of them will win. But Muntaha, I just get the impression that at the start of the season, John Gosden said to himself, right, we've got a Group 2/Group 3 stayer here. What are we going to do with him? Well, let's have a crack at the Ebor. Why ply your trade in Group 2s and Group 3s all season, finishing second and third? Let's just give him a couple of runs, get his handicap marked down. He's down to 109. He started the season off 113. He was 4-1 for the Ledger in 2016. He's only ran twice over 1.6 miles. When he won his maiden back at Kempton, he beat Marmello by 6 lengths. Even when he won his listed race at Chester, the only handicap he's running was a handicap at Chester where he beat Fabricate, was well beaten back in third. I just get the impression this is a real John Gosden plot job. He's 20-1. I think that's a big price. The draw I was a bit worried about. He's drawn in 21. But if you go back through, like, the last couple of winners have all been drawn high. So I'm pretty sweet on Muntaha. I think 20-1 is a cracking price.
You make a very good case, DJ. That's very interesting. Niall, just quickly over to you. When you realise that Stratum makes the cut, do you guys all have a little confab and say, listen, what are we going to do with this one? Are we going to keep right side of him? Are we going to be competitive? Or are we going to absolutely go out and try and lay him? What's been the word within the odds compilers there in terms of your strategy with Stratum?
Normally, it's the day before, so around 4 o'clock, we'll come to a final decision on what price we're going to be comfortable with. It depends on how the market moves. We just have our prices, and yeah, that dictates our position, basically.
And what is your position here?
I'm not 100% sure what the other lads are going to be. There's obviously a couple of us compiling it. Mine would be taking them on. I'd be bigger than that personally, bigger than the 7-2 personally, just because I like Whiskey Sour so much. Just when I was talking about the rain there, it was the Met Office I was looking at. Now, I know the Norwegian one has no rain. The Met Office had a 90% chance of rain this afternoon, so I think there's going to be some, but I'm not certain about that.
It's so difficult, isn't it? It's hard enough to know which horse is going to run the quickest, but then you've got the weather forecasters coming into play as well. Let's have a quick look on the old BBC. Yeah, they're saying a little bit potentially this afternoon, but it doesn't look like an absolute deluge. But again, as we know with weather forecasters, it's harder to tip the weather than it is to tip the horses. Let's look at the 150, the Sky Bet and Symphony Group Stensel. Let's just call it the Stensel Stakes. It's a Group 3. And the perennial bridesmaid, as he's become, Lord Glitters, heads the market here, Niall.
Yeah, Lord Glitters is 15-8 favourite. Mustachery is 5-2. Treading 13-2. Zaki 7-1. Seniority 8-1. 14-1 bar.
Graham Rodway, would you expect Lord Glitters to prove the best in this one?
Well, I really like this race as a betting race because, for me, the two at the top of the market are there to be shot at. Lord Glitters, he's unproven at the trip in Britain. I mean, it's 1 mile, 1 furlong. I know he's won over a mile and a quarter in France, but he's got plenty of gears. And I also think he wants softer ground. And I know he's been running well on quick ground. He ran a cracker at Ascot and last time at Goodwood.
Wasn't he one of those horses where you said he needs good ground and then DJ absolutely destroyed you by pointing out he needed soft that time?
I don't think he was the one, but that has happened. But I do remember when I was doing the live tips to shift at Ascot saying, you know, it's really quick ground and one of the horses that won't handle it is Lord Glitters, and then he almost went in at 20-odd to 1. You know, so you can make a fool of you going too far on the ground. But for those reasons alone, you know, I can't be having him on my mind at 2-1 or shorter.
And why don't you like Mustachery?
Mustachery, I mean, this was beaten a mile on his final start last season at Newmarket, well beaten, all right. Maybe he didn't handle the ground. And then he turned up at Sandown last time in the Gala Stakes after a long absence, and he won. But I thought he made incredibly hard work of it. And the horse in second was Spark Plug, so we're not talking about anything special. And I think Spark Plug might well have won if Mustachery hadn't got first run on him. He was flying home. So the first two in the market are just horrible prices.
So we're going to have a big each way bet with nine runners on
Chief Ironside for William Jarvis. Now, this one was beaten behind Zaki, who reopposes. Zaki was second, Chief Ironside was fifth at Newmarket behind Communique 2 runs ago. But he set too fast a gallop over a mile and a quarter. I think that trip possibly stretches him a little bit, especially if he's going that sort of gallop. And then last time out, he was back to a mile in a Group 3 at Goodwood, and he ran a stormer because Ostilio was in that race, and we all know Ostilio's only got one rate to run, and that is to blast from the front. And Ostilio did blast from the front. Chief Ironside tried to match him the whole way, and they went a set two all the way out the straight, and they were both picked off in the end by Regal Royale, who was given a waiting ride. But they did, the two of them, Ostilio and Chief Ironside, did remarkably well at Stanford for second and third. The fourth Glorious Journey came out and won a Group 3 at Deauville on Tuesday, so the form was very strong. And in this race, I don't see too much pace. There's certainly no Ostilio in this race, and I can see Chief Ironside dictating it from the front. And he's a massive prospect. He's about 20-odd to 1.
You make a great case there, G-Rod. DJ, follow that.
Yeah, the funny thing here is when Graham started saying that he was taking on the first two, I thought for the first time in the history of the podcast, me and Graham were actually going to agree, because I'm taking on the first two as well. But lo and behold, I'm taking them on with Treading. I think the interesting thing about Treading, obviously, she's 2 from 2 at York. She's had her heart broken by Alpha Centauri twice. You can forget the race at Goodwood last time. It was a mess of a race. Ostilio went way off out clear. I fancied 3 and 4 pence of Aidan O'Brien's, never got into it either. It was just a mess of a race. I think Treading is better, up with the pace, sitting off a gradual tempo that's increasing. And that's why York suits her best. I don't think this is a great race. Lord Glitters doesn't win as often as it should, even though it's been highly tried. Mustachery, I don't know. Rated 112, does it deserve that? I'm not so sure. Zaki, I think, is a big danger, who's an improver for Sir Michael Stout. But Treading back at York, the race is going to be run to suit. I think it'll start considerably shorter than it is at the moment.
Niall, do you also have a disdain for the front two in the market?
I wouldn't say disdain. I find this race really tricky because I'm just not sure how Treading is going to run after that last showing. And again, like I was saying, I'm not 100% sure what the ground's going to be like. I'd be concerned with the lack of pace for Lord Glitters, so I wouldn't be keen on him at all. I kind of like Mustachery. He was impressive last time. He needs it like a road. But the fact he's got York form, I'd give him a chance. I'd probably take a chance on Treading. Treading for me, but it's not a confident selection.
Okay, another tricky one, the 225. It's the Sky Bet Melrose Handicap. 5-1 the field. Take it away with a show of betting, Niall.
Supernova is our 5-1 favourite. Corgi 11-2. Making Miracle 6-1. Mekong 6-1. Berkshire Blue 12-1. Ghostwatch 12-1. And it's 12-1 bar.
16 declared, so no doubt one or two will come out, breaking each way punters' hearts. Who should we be backing, David Jennings?
Oh, Supernova for me, Bruce. Jamie Spencer's riding particularly well at the moment. He's a jockey that needs to be high on confidence, and his confidence couldn't be higher. Five winners the other night at Yarmouth. But the key thing about Supernova is it's only gone up £5 for winning last time at Doncaster, and I thought it was more impressive than it looked. Similar story the time before that at Goodwood. When you look at Supernova, for its debut, it started 13-2 at Newmarket, which is very strange for a David Simcoe horse to start so short for a maiden at a Group 1 track like Newmarket. And I think this horse is suited by a big field, a fast pace to chase, a Jamie Spencer special held up out the back, come through, seems to get loads of confidence from passing horses. And the fact that it's been able to win two small field races on its last two starts, I think speaks volumes. Rated 86, I'm hoping that it's got a bit in hand here, and given that there's 13-2 available out there and powers are only going 5-1, I'm hoping that Niall is going to agree.
Who do you fancy, Niall?
Yeah, 100% Supernova. I'm cautiously watching this weather because he definitely needs fast ground. He won as DJ said, he won a 5-runner race last time, which might look weak, but the third has already won and runs in this race. Now the race was run at a really muddling pace, and he had to show some speed to come from where he did to win. He actually recorded the fastest closing section on the card that day, which is impressive considering the trip. This new trip can only bring a bit of improvement in him. And if he's not better than the Mark of 86 by the end of the season, I will be absolutely shocked. As long as the ground is good or better, I think he's the bet of the weekend.
Bet of the weekend. G-Rod, are you going to row him with the lads?
Well, I thought this was incredibly difficult.
It's not, Graham. It's not difficult at all.
And I thought Making Miracles had a huge chance for Mark Johnston. He's a typical Johnston horse, really. He just goes out, he grinds from the front, and he won nicely at Haydock a couple of starts ago. And he followed that with another solid effort at Goodwood last time when he was third behind Corgi and Soto Sizzler. I'm a little bit worried about Ghost Watch, who also ran in the Haydock contest two runs ago behind Making Miracles, and he reared badly at the start, gave up a bit of ground, and then did well to finish fifth behind Making Miracles. Then last time out, he was turned over at short price at Sandown, but they went absolutely no pace, and he's quite a slow horse, Ghost Watch. This will be a completely different race. I think he was turned over by some 25-1 outsider that shouldn't have even been close to him. I think you'll see a different horse, especially as he's been gelded, so that could bring about improvement as well. So I'll be back in Making Miracles with a little saver on Ghostwatch, just in case.
Righty-ho, let's see what the 3 o'clock throws up. It's the Skybet City of York Stakes. Expert Eye is the favourite. High-class event this. What's the latest betting now?
Yeah, Expert Eye is a 13-8 favourite. Suédois, 11-4. Above the rest, 8-1. Tabarak, 10-1. 11-1 bar.
11-1 bar brings in Don Juan Triumphant. Oh, I think it's going to run a very big race. Who do you think is going to run a very big race, Niall?
Expert Eye, he's the most likely winner, but he's a horse I'll never be taking a short price about. I'm going to back the more solid option in Suédois. He's run well in this before and been in top form in his last two starts, particularly last time when he was just chinned by the progressive Sir Dancelot, who obviously went on to win last week at Newbury. I really don't like the form line of those three-year-old milers, which is another reason I couldn't back Expert Eye. So yeah, Suédois for me.
Cracking days racing this, G-Rod, isn't it? Who do you like?
Yeah, it's brilliant. This is a great meeting. This York one. Plus, of course, we've got Goodwood and a bunch of other stuff. Expert Eye, that's the best form in the race. There's no doubt about it. And he was massively impressive when he won at Royal Ascot. And last
just slow
time
down
out
a bit. I can't keep up with you. You're going too quickly for me.
Last time out at Goodwood, he raced up with
the
pace.
The race is now over.
And he was 2-3, and he did remarkably well to finish second. However, I really don't like that form, and that's something that's going to feed in throughout as a theme throughout the whole day, because there's a few horses running in from that race. Was it the Sussex that Lightning Spear won, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Expert Eye was second. Lord Glitters was third. Beat the Bank, who we'll also talk about, was fifth in that. And he's also got a penalty for winning a Group 3, and I think he's up against it. Now, the horse that I liked against him was Above the Rest, until I also discovered that he's also got a penalty, which, you know, it's not easy to carry a penalty against this lot, but I'd still rather back in than Expert Eye under a penalty, so he's going to be a much bigger price. He's seven, but his form suggests he's improving. His last two runs have been big career best RPRs, and he was very impressive when winning. I think it was Course and Distance two runs ago, and then he dropped back to six last time out in Newcastle and absolutely bolted up. He seems to be thriving, and he'll do for me. I'm not massively confident on him, though. It's another trappy little race.
Above the rest.
Above the rest.
Very mournfully delivered that, but we got there. DJ.
Yeah, Expert Eye is one of these stout horses that it's a bit like Sun Maiden. I just never know what to expect because on his day, as we've seen in the jersey, he's spectacular. But you'll get the vibes beforehand. I'd imagine if he's been working well, he'll go off odds on. If not, he'll drift out to 5-2. So the one by process of elimination, I think the each way play here is Don Juan Triumphant.
Yes, well done, well done. You're right.
The key thing here, though, if it is fast, I would worry about the ground. If there's any rain at all, hopefully Niall's weather forecast is right. If the rain does come, this price will tumble. But even if it doesn't, and it's just maybe just about good and not really rattling quick, I think it's very hard to keep him out of the first three.
Well done, lads. Let's go to... we've done Niall, haven't we? Yeah. Let's go to Goodwood next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Let's look at three ITV races from Goodwood. Starting with the 205s, the Ladbrokes Celebration Mile. It's a Group 2. It's a cracker. What's the latest betting, Niall?
Beat the Bank is our 6-5 favourite. Alton Orda 6-1. Zonderland 13-2. Otis is Us 7-1. Stormy Antarctic 8-1. Arrod 9-1. Nialeshi 16-1 and Whiskey Baron 20-1.
Okay, G Rod, you were saying there's a theme running through this transmission with Sussex Stakes. So Beat the Bank, who ran in that, is obviously a short price favourite. One to back or one to oppose?
I think he deserves to be favourite. I think that the ground will play a big part. It's good to firm in places. Now, my forecast suggests we're not going to get any rain at Goodwood till Sunday, so it should quicken up. And then we discussed this about 2 or 3 weeks ago when Beat the Bank ran at Ascot, and we went through that race. That was the race where we spoke about a bunch of horses that didn't like fast ground. And Beat the Bank, for me, is still one of them. Even though he won that race at Ascot on good to firm ground, he was racing against a bunch of horses that all prefer it softer. So he didn't actually prove to me that he goes on good to firm ground against proven good to firm horses. And I think if it quickens up, he's definitely vulnerable on this going, and I thought he made extremely hard work of winning a race that I don't think was that strong. So I'll be keen to take him on, and if the ground is quick, Zonderland has to be the one. I mean, he was beaten a nose in this race last year by Lightning Spear and was caught right on the line. I mean, it had the race won, all ends up, it was a good ride on the winner, who obviously needs to be produced late. He hasn't run many times since, but he was a big eye-catcher on his return at Salisbury in the Sovereign Stakes last time out, because he doesn't really like soft ground. It was good to soft ground that day, and he travelled through the race really strongly. He looked like he was going to win, come towards the stand side rail. He traded at 2.6 in running from an SP of 9-1, and he just got bogged down in the mud inside the final furlong on a stiff track. Now, if it's quick, and this is obviously a much sharper test as well at Goodwood as opposed to Salisbury, I think he's going to come on for that run, and he can definitely lower Beat the Bank's colours.
OK, the overnight decks are very encouraging for each-way punters. A lot of 8 runners, a lot of 16-runner races, so we just need them all to stand their ground, don't we?
Yeah.
OK, DJ, who wins this?
Bruce, I have no strong opinion here. In the other two races we're covering at Goodwood, I have two very strong opinions. I think Beat the Bank is the most likely winner, but I won't be backing him. So I'll keep my time for the other races.
Niall, have you got a strong opinion?
I just priced the race last night. Now, I made Beat the Bank 5-4, and I was hoping there'd be something like 7-4 around. I think he'll be really, really hard to beat here. Now, he disappointed last time, so the pace of that race probably didn't suit. And with the likes of Arrod in here, I think this could set up better. He's got the best form and he's proven at the track, so yeah, I think he'd be very hard to beat here.
Okay, now give us a show on the 240. It's the Ladbrokes Prestige Stakes, Group 3, over 7 furlongs for 2-year-old fillies.
Yeah, Magnetic Charms are 5-2 favourites, Antonio de Vega 11-4, Look Around 7-2, Post-it 6-1, Accordant 7-1, and 16-1 bar.
Okay, DJ's giving it the big one, confident selection here. Who is it?
Oh, there's a good thing in here, Bruce. There's still 7-2 about. Magnetic Charm, I'll be so disappointed if she doesn't win. I was blown away at Newbury. The second horse, Winter Light, won a Brighton Maiden earlier on this week. And you might say, right, won a Brighton Maiden. But there was a Sir Michael Stout filly in the race that started favourite that had rock solid form from Newmarket. And Winter Light blew her away. Magnetic Charm won by, I think, over 3 lengths at Newbury. It was a decent race. Hugo Palmer, the horse in there that he thinks a bit of as well, Miss Serenity. And Magnetic Charm, I thought, was one of the most impressive maiden winners I've seen at Newbury so far this season. Looks to have a lovely attitude, is held in such high regard. The 7-2 out there, I think this could go off 11-8, 6-4. I think she's very, very good, Magnetic Charm.
You're taking on a Rafe there, mate. Dangerous game. Niall, who do you fancy?
Yeah, I was trying to get on that 7-2 as well this morning. Magnetic Charm's the one for me. Thought she was visually very, very impressive last time. I think she looks top class. The second from that race, I think DJ said it bolted up at Brighton on Thursday to give the form a really strong look. So yeah, I'll be backing her.
Are you going to row in there, G-Rod?
Yeah, I agree with the boys. I think the Magnetic Charm's going to be extremely difficult to beat. Very impressive at Newbury. I'm a massive fan of William Haggis. Obviously fantastic with, well, any type of horse, but this in particular. And yeah, looks a cut above.
Okay. Excellent. Three very confident votes for Magnetic Charm there. And the other race on the box at Goodwood is a 3.15. The Ladbrokes bet £5, get £20 handicap. And a Frank Hickey blast from the past heads the market, Niall.
Yeah, Flaming Spears are 11-2 favourites. Chessman 6-1. Burn Sugar 7-1. Mankib 7-1. Cape Byron 7-1. Al Jadi 8-1. And 10-1 bar.
And it's your go to go first, Niall.
I didn't price this race. Now, I know Flaming Spears are favourite, but I'm not sure he'll go all favourite. Chessman looks a really obvious one, but he's drawn in stall one, and I think he might need a lot of luck, so I'm not going to chance him for all. I think he's well handicapped. I'm going to go for a less obvious one and take a chance on White Fountain Fairy for the inform Andrew Balding. She was second in the Prestige Stakes over C&D last year behind Bills and Brook, which reads quite well considering she's off 92 here. She was a snug winner for decent race on her return, but then disappointed twice, but they were in good races. She can be very keen, so I'm hoping there's just a really strong pace that'll help her settle here. She's a 20-1 shot. She could be bigger tomorrow. I think she's a decent each way bet.
Niall's gone for it, 20-1. G-Rod, who are you going to go for?
There was a 7-furlong handicap run at the Glorious Goodwood a few weeks ago, and I think that might hold the key to it. You got the first four all reopposing. Medahim beat Vale of Kent. Truford there was third. And Massam Star was fourth. They all line up here. And I'm torn between the lot of them. And I'm going to plump for Vale of Kent. And the reason is because in that race at Glorious Goodwood, he ended up on the outside. And he was very, very free. And he did remarkably well to stay on in a big field handicap after setting a good gallop. Last time out, he won over the course and distance. And again, he was drawn wide and ended up wide. But he settled a bit better and he was able to get to the front. And he kept on really strong. He looked for certain he was going to get caught by the Godolphin runner. And he just stuck his head out in such game fashion. Now, this time, he's actually drawn nicely. He's got a good draw on the inside. I think it's four or something like that. And he's a front runner, so he's just going to bounce out and he's going to get that favoured pitch. Well, hopefully anyway, towards the far side rail. I might back Truford Dare as well, because in that Glorious Goodwood race, Truford Dare was drawn 20 and it was another one that did well to finish third behind Medahim and Vale of Kent. I don't know what happened last time at Doncaster, but I don't want to get beaten by Truford Dare. They're the two against the field, but Vale of Kent being my number one.
And who's your number one, DJ?
Oh, Kate Byron from me, Bruce. If you go back to the Golden Mile, just anybody have a look at it. Andrea Azzeni was craving cover, tried to get in, and then he realised if he was to have any chance of winning the race on Cape Byron, he had to pull out. And he was maybe 10 or 12 horses wide, trailed a very short run and looked like he was coming there to win the race. Ended up finishing fourth, but I thought it was the moral winner of the race. He covered more ground than any other horse in the race, and I'm not quite sure. I think he's got more pace than a typical miler in them big fields when they go with strong pace. I think this step back to 7 furlongs is perfect. If he gets a little bit more cover, I think he's going to be hard to beat. He's only gone up £2 for that Goodwood run. The bit that worries me, and I'm petrified, is the draw. Kate Byron has drawn in stall 18. The last 10 winners of this race were drawn 2, 6, 5, 7, 7, 8, 5, 3, 8, 6. So nothing over stall 8 has won this race in the last 10 years. He's drawn out in stall 18, so that's the bit that really worries me. But even if he does pull out and has to come widest of all this time, I think over 7 he might get away with it. And we've seen a couple of Roger Varian horses this week at York. Sharjah Bridge I thought was unlucky and looks well handicapped. I think this is another one, Kate Byron for me.
Well done, lads. That's the TV action covered. We've got the rest of York, rest of Goodwood. We've also got the Curragh, we've got Cartmel, we've got Windsor, Newmarket, Chelmsford, Killarney, Redcar. Who else should we be backing? Do not give your nap away at this point. G-Rod.
So usually I would just reel off a whole bunch that I like, but there's only one, and it's in the 450 at York. Alfaris for William Haggis. I know that Haggis thinks this horse is the business. He thinks it is group horse, and there's a big word around for it when it won at Glorious Goodwood last time. And it travelled like a dream through that race, and it was given an excellent ride by Jim Crowley. And I'm expecting a lot more improvement from Al Faris. And obviously Haggis, being a Yorkshireman, loves a winner at York. He always primes a few for this. I think this could be the one.
Lovely. DJ?
I can't wait to see the 4.15 at York priced up. Are you doing that one now?
I will be, yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm afraid to say what I think now, but I think Sabre or Sabre, whatever way you pronounce
Sabre,
I think this will win, Bruce. You know, was second in the Windsor Castle, was caught on the wrong side, travelled like a dream, and just was caught on the wrong side, simple as that, left too much to do. And when you go back into the run at Goodwood, again, it was in the Richmond Stakes, up to six, got caught in the middle of the track, Landforce made his move, the near side. Again, I thought it was value for finishing close, and it did. It was only beaten two lengths, but it got carried the whole way across the course. This is getting weighed from Vintage Brute, and I'm just interested to see, because I think, like, if I was pricing it up now, I'd maybe go maybe sevens or eights, but I'd be happy to take a bit of fight. I'd be happy to take a bit of 5-2.
You made a very good case there. Niall's just knocked it out from 5-1 to 8. Niall, have you got a view on that one?
Yeah, I actually like one. It's going to be a price, I think, because the one DJ mentioned is going to be favoured, in my opinion. And Vintage Fruit will be up there as well. The one I like is I Believe in You for Ian Jardine. Now, he's only won 2 Hamilton races, so it's just really taken with how he did it. And the second from the last race has won since. I think he probably will be a double-figure price elsewhere anyway. And yeah, I think it'd be an each-way bet in the race.
DJ, was that your roundup? One horse?
No, there's more.
I was going to say.
I have more too.
Don't worry, we'll come back to you now. Away you go then, mate.
Yeah, and the 250 at Newmarket, I thought Late Change was quite impressive last time, and I don't think we've seen the best of it yet. So Late Change in the 250 at Newmarket, and also in the 330 at Newmarket. Atty Purse has been very disappointing.
He was a legendary Epsom trainer of yesteryear.
I always make that mistake. It's a bit like Musselburgh.
Joseph, what's his name, Giroud? Joseph?
Joseph Chuit.
That's it.
Atty Purse. It's interesting. Like, you would imagine that James Doyle would be at York for the last day of the Ebor meeting, but he's not. He's here. And I think he's here for Atty Purse, who has gradually just doesn't find as much off the bridle as you expect, but I think he's needed a couple of runs to come right. And I think that'll win the 330 at Newmarket as well. It's an interesting enough card at Newmarket. So Sabre, Late Change, and Atty Purse are my three.
And Niall, who are the rest of your roundup horses?
In the 325, the Curra, Southern France. Now, it looks first string and jockey bookings. Shamey Heffernan's on. I think this is an absolute all-in job if it's a decent price at all. That run behind Kew Gardens at Ascot, I thought was a massive effort considering where he came from. Now, I think he ideally needs further, but he should be still capable of winning this. I wouldn't put anyone off backing him for next year's Ascot Gold Cup if they got a decent price. That's how good I think he will be when he stepped up and trip.
Are you not worried about Aidan's stable form? Do you know he's had 2 winners from his last 43 runners?
Yeah. He has 4 runners in this race, though. I don't think it'll be too big a problem. And this is the first string. So it wouldn't worry me in this race now.
One thing on Aidan's team, the key thing here, and I'm hoping we'll see it today with the Irish Rover, is it's just fitness at the moment, because when they got this bug, they obviously weren't doing the work that they'd usually be doing. And one of the key things that Ballydoyle have is race fitness. They are trained to the minute. They're so fit and they always look so fit. But he took a step off the gas when they got this bug. So they're all needing a run or two to get fit rather than actually get well. So okay. I think it's more fitness than anything. So it'll be interesting to see how the Irish Rover goes today, because he's had the run.
Righto. Yeah. Go on, Niall. Yeah. So Southern France is the all-in job. Who else have you got? Yeah.
Just looking at that again, I see Dunnock is on Flag of Honour, maybe. It's put me off slightly. The next race, Game Starter in the 5:45 Windsor. Last time we saw him, he was hammering some well-handicapped horses, and I think he could look up to this grade. He could be a horse to follow for the autumn. The 4:05 Newmarket, I think I'll back Dreamfield. He ran perfectly well in the July Cup and has plenty of improvement in him. And that's it.
Okay, lovely stuff. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Who are you napping, Graham?
Chief Ironside each way. If I don't get a place return out of that, I'll be extremely disappointed.
And the race and the meeting?
It's in the 150 at York, the Shrimpsall Stakes.
DJ?
In the 240 at Goodwood, Magnetic Charm looks huge at 7-2.
And Niall?
Can I nap a double because I couldn't decide between
them? You absolutely can.
Yeah, Supernova 225 York and Whiskey Sour 335 York. I think it pays around 70-1.
Should that be an each way double, do you think?
Yeah, you can do it each way.
Lovely. Excellent. Thank you very much. Let's look at Sunday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Bruce Millington, Graham Rodway, David Jennings and Paddy Powers. Niall O'Reilly looking ahead to a really good Sunday. Both sides of the Irish Sea. We've got some group action at the Curragh and also a really good Group 3 at Goodwood. We'll start at the Curragh then with the 235. It's the Debutant Stakes. 7 furlongs to trip. And David Jennings, who is going to pass the post in front?
This is a gorgeous race. I love this race because there's so many unexposed fillies in here. I, as you know, was sitting beside Joseph at a recent function and I was talking about his two-year-olds. And he says, fillies, colts, whatever he's got, the best of his by a considerable margin is Iridesa, who was very impressive at Killarney. And there is some substance to the form because it beat Cardini, who should have won. It was a little bit of overconfidence from Jamie Heffernan. And I know it's a bit of a rogue. Should have won at Killarney on Thursday night. But Iridesa looked really, really good. But I have to say, I thought Hermosa was so good in Galway. Now, Ryan Moore is on Zagatova, who won convincingly at Cork. And that obviously suggests that she's the first string. But I thought Hermosa looked very good at Galway. Got out of an uncompromising position to win. Now, the second has been beaten since at Roscommon. But I just think Hermosa is better than she looked there. And because Roy Moore is on Zagatova, I think Hermosa will be a bit of a price. I think it's between Hermosa and Iridesa, but I'm just going to shade the verdict with Hermosa.
And you suspect, DJ, this might be a race worth keeping an eye on for the rest of the season and beyond.
I would think that the 1,000 guineas winner could come from this race because I spoke to Aidan earlier on the week where we were talking about his York runners and he was talking about the weekend and he seemed to suggest that he had some lovely fillies kept back for the debutant. So I think his Hermosa and Zagatova are both quite useful.
I'm pretty sure I saw the 1,000 guineas winner at Deauville last week. Okay, Niall, who do you think will win this?
Yeah, this is a brilliant race. There's obviously a field of 10 and I was struggling to narrow it down to 5, but the one I'm going to go with is Zagatova. Now, I heard she was lame last time, so I'm surprised to see her out so quickly. She's obviously okay. She beat nothing last time, but it was the way she did it. And at the moment, she'd probably be my pick for the Guineas and Oaks next year. She's 20-1 for the Guineas. Yeah, like I said, it looks a hot race, but Zagatova for me.
You're not a fan of Pretty Pollyanna, no?
Yeah, no, I like her. Just not 100% sure she'll want a mile, but... yeah, she's obviously very, very good.
G-Rod, are you going to keep your powder dry for Goodwood or do you want to get stuck in on this one?
No, I can't say I've had a too close a look at the Curragh.
Okay, we'll move on then to the 305. It's the Galileo Irish EBF Futurity Stakes. It's a Group 2 and tons of Aidens. Who's going to be the best of them and indeed the best of the overall field? Niall O'Reilly.
Anthony Van Dyke should win this. At this early stage, again, he'd probably be my guineas pick if he's 14-1. I reckon he'll probably be close to 2-1 tomorrow. I didn't price it fully, so it won't be a betting prospect. From an each-way perspective, I'd probably go with Clute for Jessica Harrington, who's obviously in form.
And DJ?
Oh, Anthony Van Dyke, yeah. It's interesting. I think they're worried about the trip for Anthony Van Dyke. He keeps saying that it showed enough pace to race over 7. They thought they'd have to go for a mile, but they're going to keep it to 7 because it won so impressively at Leopardstown. I think what they're going to do is go for this and then on to the Dewhurst. Again, like Niall, he'd be my idea of the 2,000 guineas winner at this stage.
DJ, do you remember how much you enjoyed going to the Cotswolds? You love the Cotswolds, don't you? A bit of history and architecture. Well, up that similar street, you and Aoife, I don't know how you feel in terms of British royalty, but I went to Windsor Castle on Monday. I'd never been, and we looked around the state apartments. It was absolutely staggering. Beautiful, beautiful, really amazing architecture and historical artefacts. And there were some paintings by Anthony Van Dyke by coincidence. But I can give you a little tip there. If you fancy a day out with Aoife next time you're over, Windsor Castle really is well worth looking at. Niall, who do you think will win? Oh, no, you've both tipped Anthony Van Dyke, haven't you?
Yep.
Okay, anything else at the Curragh? We'll start with you, DJ.
Yeah, one of the most interesting runners on the day, and I suppose the market will tell you all you need to know here, is Verbal Dexterity, who runs in the 340.
Oh, the old Verbal's back, is he?
Yeah, yeah. And I just wonder, like, obviously you're worried it's his first run as a three-year-old, but I just wonder, was Verbal Dexterity ready to return maybe 6 or 8 weeks ago? But it probably needs cut in the ground, and Jim Bulger probably said to himself, do you know what? Let's not spoil his season by bringing him out in quick ground. So now that the rain has arrived in Ireland, and it has arrived, there's so many heavy showers around, and it's going to be like that over the weekend. I think rain will arrive before the 340. And I just wonder, will that layoff mean that Verbal Dexterity will be a bigger price than he should? I think he's very good. I think I tipped him in an Anti-Post Guineas podcast at the start of the season. So, yeah, I'm just really interested to know how Verbal Dexterity will get on.
I was on him at 40s for the Guineas. I was also on Amedeo Midigliani, 50s for the Derby.
Yeah, he's back. He's properly
They'll
back.
Probably both come back and be absolutely superb now, won't they, just to rub it in. Okay, so Verbal Dexterity, that's interesting. Anything else for you at the Curragh, Niall?
Yeah, it's like DJ was reading my notes there. I was going to say literally the exact same thing about, I think he's been ready to run. They've just been waiting for the ground. The interesting thing about him is he's 33-1 for the English Champion Stakes, which is run in October, and you're likely to get soft ground, which he needs. I've taken a chance on it this morning myself, and if he wins, I don't know if you want to be quick to rob a price. I wouldn't put anyone off backing it.
I'm definitely backing him now before the race. I've got to get my money back because I thought he looked a real smart two-year-old. I liked him very much. Okay, Goodwood then, the 410, it's the Weatherby's Bank Supreme Stakes. What a race this is, G-Rod.
Yeah, it's a good race for a Sunday in Britain, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're notoriously known for having terrible Sunday cards.
But we should have more races like this on Sunday, shouldn't we? Because a race like this, if you slotted it into the Saturday, would get lost, wouldn't it? But on a Sunday, it stands out, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's just whet people's appetite going down the card. Breton Rock, Dream of Dreams, Dutch Connection, Salatine, Zui Feng, Dancing Star, Card Sharp, Good Effort, Raid, and Anerium. Who's the pick, G-Rod?
Well, the first thing to say about Goodwood on Sunday is that the forecast that I looked at was up to 10 millimetres of rain. So if that hits, you're going to be looking at soft ground because it does soften up quickly on top of that hill there. And that is going to rule half this field out. And Dutch Connection is going to have no chance if it goes on the soft ground. And the one it will bring into it is obviously Breton Rock, who loves it at Goodwood. Ran an absolute stormer to finish third there behind Sir Dancelot and Soudoir, who Niall's tipped for the race at York. And then back to form again last time at Newbury when also beaten by Sir Dancelot. Now this time we haven't got Sir Dancelot lining up, which I'm sure Breton Rock will be more than happy with. Provided the rain comes, I think Breton Rock must win.
I've got 21 mils hitting.
21?
Yeah.
Well, it could be heavy.
Yeah. Breton Rock then. DJ, have you look at this one?
Yeah, I think if the rain arrives, the key one here is Raid for Simcock and Ushie Murphy, because this horse, when it won its maiden at Doncaster, it was bottomless, so it was. And again, like we spoke about Verbal Dexterity earlier on, I wonder, has David Simcock just been waiting for cut in the ground for Raid as well? Like, it finished eighth in the Guineas. It led for a long way. It was only beaten, I think, 5 lengths or so. And even before that, its form with James Garfield at Newbury looks really, really good now. Raid is one of them horses that everybody's forgotten about. And people listening to me going, who the hell is Raid? And then you go, oh, yeah, that's the one that ran in the Guineas. If the rain comes, I'd imagine there'd be a big plunge on Raid.
Okay, good races, Niall. Who are you going to go for?
Yeah, it really depends on the rain. Probably Breton Rock, but I wouldn't be too confident. I'm actually pretty interested in Raid now that DJ's put that up.
Okay, excellent. Anything else?
I forgot that Niall is pricing all these races.
Well, yeah, quite. Yeah, you're doing his job for him.
And, thanks.
Nicking all your own value. Anything else Sunday, G-Rod?
It's worth mentioning at 5.50 at Goodwood, if the rain does come, then Zorro could be a player because he likes a bit of cutting the ground. He's been out of form recently, but it's a lady rider's race, and Amanda Perrett's booked Jane Elliott. She'd be one of the better jockeys in that race, bar Hayley, obviously, and Nicola Curry, who's turning up as well, but bar those two. And Amanda Perrett, we all know, Goodwood is a track. She loves a winner there. Looks like it's been laid out for sort of a big prize like that at the local track. And if ground conditions come right, I could see Zorro running well in a 5.50.
DJ, anything else to add?
I'm going to be interested to know here. I fancy one horse very strongly at Goodwood. And if Niall does fancy one horse, I can guarantee it's the same horse.
Do you fancy one, Niall?
Yeah, I fancy one, yeah.
Right, but hang on a second. Whoa, 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 whoa. You've both got to say it on the count of three. Of one. Okay. Three, two, one.
Victory Hanlo. Chime.
I didn't hear it, but I know there were different horses. Who's yours,
that's
DJ?
Shite. I built that up so well. Hanlo in the 3 o'clock. This could be a group horse. It could be a star next season. It won at Salisbury last time off a mark of 78. I was sure it'd get potentially £10, maybe a stone. It's only gone up £7. James Doyle again is riding. One of these Sir Michael Stout three-year-olds is just going to get better and better and better. And I just can't believe it didn't go up more than £7 for that win at Salisbury. I think it's a handicapper with a big future and will finish the season in style.
DJ likes Hamlaw in the 3 o'clock. Who was the one you were going to say then, Noel?
Yeah, I thought I had the winner of this race. I'm actually afraid of Hamlaw now. Victory Chime down the bottom for your pal Ralph Beckett. He actually won at Goodwood 2 starts ago. He then was stepped up and trip in a really hot York handicap when he was really keen, and I don't think he stayed. Then got dropped back to 10 furlongs and won a three-runner race at Chepstow. But he's back at a track he likes. He likes soft ground. So, yeah, I think he's well handicapped and will go well.
What's up with you, Niall? I mean, you're one of the greatest judges of all time. You Ralph. Tip winner after winner, and you're getting scared off by David Jennings' views. It's ridiculous. Go on, G, right?
Dave Beckett, Ralph Beckett.
No, yeah, you can't do that.
Absolutely. I was about to make that same point.
Yeah, you can't do that.
There's no way he should be called Ralph by anyone, not least London. Niall.
He doesn't like Ralph, and you cannot call him Willie Haggis either. William. Yeah. Honestly, any of these young reporters ring up and say, hi, Willie, they get to know about it. That's if they get to speak to him in the first place. Right then, weekend plans, Gerard. What are you going to be doing?
What am I doing?
Saturday, I don't know.
Yes, I am live tipster on Saturday.
So live tipster? What's the email address?
It is racedaylive at racingpost.com with your questions, and I'll be there to answer them.
Lovely.
And it is going to be a busy afternoon, isn't it? And very chock-a-block full of racing. Sunday. Now, I did take Sunday off for a reason.
But you can't remember what it was? You're not getting married or anything,
no? No, it's probably football-related. It was probably something to do with football.
You want to watch Watford v Palace?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, good. Well, hopefully Graham will remember why he took the day off. DJ, what are you doing at the weekend?
Tonight is the big night. Bruce, as you can... Well, I don't know if you can see. I'm in my club T-shirt. Intermediate Football Championship tonight. Knockout game. Dunderry versus Mead Hill. Winner takes all. And I am playing, but I have torn 3 ligaments in my ankle. But I'm going to be playing through the pain barrier.
How many do you have to pay to get into that?
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it? DJ is a professional sportsman.
He's multi-talented, isn't he?
Well, he might be quite good at that. I don't know about anything
else. It's a tenner in. It's a tenner in. There'd be about like 200 at it. Maybe.
Really? Do you get jeered by the opposition fans?
Yeah, like you could if this usually there's like kids behind the goals. So when I'm running up to take a kick out, I'll be, and then I usually fluff it anyway.
You probably get jeered by your own fans as well, actually, don't you? Okay, so you're doing that on Saturday. What's Sunday? No, that's tonight, rather.
That's tonight. Saturday, actually, Aoife's back to school on Tuesday. She's a teacher, not a student. She's back to school on Tuesday, and she hasn't got away for a holiday because her granny died and a few different things. So we're going to go away for the night on Saturday night. Although I told her I'd book something, but I haven't booked anything yet. But I'm going to book something in the next hour.
Okay. Lovely stuff. Hope you have a lovely weekend. Okay. And Niall, what about you?
Yeah, I'm working tomorrow and then on Sunday I'm off, but I'll just be punting and watching the football. So living the dream. Can I just mention a few extra places that I forgot?
Yes.
We're 6 places in the Ebor, we're 5 places in the 450, and we're also 5 places in the 350 in Goodwood.
Good man. Thank you very much, Niall. Thanks, DJ, and thanks, G-Rod. Thank you for listening or watching. Maddie and the gang are back on Monday to pick through what is a fascinating weekend and look ahead to... Well, it's September next weekend. Where's the summer gone, G-Rod?
Yeah, well, it'll be Christmas soon.
It certainly will. Thanks very much indeed. Join Maddie on Monday. We're back next Friday for another weekend postcast.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.